Please join me in our greeting. Return to the Lord, the God of all mercies, for a feast of love has been prepared for his own. This praise shall be continually in my mouth. O taste and see the goodness of the Lord. Happy are those who take refuge in God. O magnify the Lord with me, and let us exalt God's name together. Please be seated. And before we join together in our confession, I ask you to go to a time of personal prayer and reflection, a time of self-examination for just what it is that God's great grace and love has forgiven you of, has cleansed you of, has given you a new beginning beyond. Let us pray in silence before we begin. God, merciful Father, I, a penitent sinner, confess to you all my sins and iniquities with which I have offended you and for which I justly deserve your punishment. I repent of them and pray for your boundless mercy. For the sake of the suffering and death of your Son, Jesus Christ, be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Forgive my sins. Give me your Holy Spirit for the amendment of my sinful life, and bring me to life everlasting. Amen. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for us, and for his sake forgives us all our sins. Through his Holy Spirit, he cleanses us and gives us power to proclaim the mighty deeds of God who called us out of darkness into the splendor of his light. Amen. I have felt very strongly for some time that as we emphasize our mortality and our sin during Lent, that we need a time to prepare for the true Easter celebration by also emphasizing the grace and the forgiveness which is ours through Jesus Christ. On Ash Wednesday, many of you were here, and you began this season with confession, and you came forward and you received ashes of repentance. I'm inviting you to come forward now, only if you wish. I know that this is something a little bit different than we normally do. Come forward if you wish and receive an assurance of forgiveness, an assurance of absolution through the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. Those who desire to come, come to the altar rail and kneel. And individually, Kelly will begin here in front of the altar going this way, and I will begin here in front of the altar going this way. And we will, in an Old Testament way, bless you, lay hands upon you, and say, by the grace of Jesus Christ, you are forgiven. A simple assurance of forgiveness, sort of undoing that emphasis on sin and death that we began Lent with on Ash Wednesday. It is an option, a part of the service for you to partake of if you feel led, if you feel inclined.
And if you don't, please remain and we will have more scripture. We will have a communion service toward the end of the service. Come if you are so inclined around the altar rail. Please remain seated and join me in the written prayer in your bulletin. Holy God, source of all love, on the night of his betrayal, Jesus gave his disciples a new commandment to love one another as he had loved them. By your Holy Spirit, write this commandment in our hearts through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen.
to the mountain of mercy, to the crimson perpetual tide. Kneel down on the shore, be thirsty no more, go under and be purified. Follow Christ to the holy mountain, sinners sorry and wrecked by the fall. Cleanse your heart and your soul in the fountain that flows for you and for me and for all. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night, on the hillside you will be delivered, at the foot of the cross justified, and your spirit restored by the river that pours from our blessed Savior's side. At the wonderful, tragic, mysterious tree, on that beautiful, scandalous night, you and me were atoned by his blood and forever washed white. On that beautiful, scandalous night.
Our first lesson is from the Psalms, Psalm 103, verses 8 through 18. Hear now God's word from the Psalms. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is his steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a father has compassion for his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. He remembers that we are dust. As for mortals, their days are like grass. They flourish like a flower of the field. The wind passes over it, and it is gone, and its place knows it no more. But the steadfast love of the Lord is from everlasting to everlasting upon those who fear him, and his righteousness to children's children, to those who keep his covenant and remember to do his commandments. Our second lesson from 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, verses 23 through 26. Speaking of the Lord's Supper, Paul writes, "For I have received from the Lord what I also handed on to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took a loaf of bread, and when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body that is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way, he took the cup also after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes again.'" Thus ends our reading. I have one more reading. The reading upon which Maundy Thursday is based. It's the reading from John 13, where Jesus gives a new commandment. Maundy, coming from mandatum, the Latin for commandment. Hear now God's word from the Gospel of John. "Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour had come to depart out of this world to the Father, having loved his own who were in the world, he loved them to the end. And during supper, When the devil had already put it into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, Jesus, knowing that the Father had given all things into his hands and that he had come from the Father and was going to the Father, rose from supper, laid aside his garments, and girded himself with a towel. Then he poured water into a basin and began to wash the disciples' feet and to wipe them with the towel with which he was girded. He came to Simon Peter, and Peter said to him, "Lord, do you wash my feet?" Jesus answered him, "What I am doing you do not now understand, but afterward you will understand." Peter said to him, "You shall never wash my feet." Jesus answered him, If I do not wash you, you have no part in me." Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head." Jesus said to him, "He who has bathed does not need to wash except for his feet, but he who is clean all over, and you are clean, but not every one of you." For he knew who was to betray him. That is why he said, "You are not all clean." When he had washed their feet and taken his garments and resumed his place, he said to them, "Do you know what I have done to you? You call me teacher and Lord, and you are right, for so I am. If I then, your Lord and teacher, have washed your feet, you also ought to wash one another's feet. For I have given you an example that you also should do as I have done to you. Truly, truly I say to you, a servant is not greater than his master, nor is he who is sent greater than he who sent him. If you know these things, blessed are you if you do them." And I go on to verse 34, where he says, "A new commandment I give to you, a new commandment, that you love one another, even as I have loved you, that you also love one another. And by this, all people will know that you are my disciples, if you have love for one another." Thus ends our reading. May God add his blessing to the reading and hearing of his holy word. I have a short message. You have to wonder, what is new about this commandment? Old Moses and the Ten Commandments related that we should love God in the first five, and in the second five, love your neighbor. But Jesus said this commandment is new. He did more than say it. He lived it, and he showed it. A kind of, no matter what it cost, even if the world thinks it's humiliating, even if you get nothing back from it, that kind of love. A completely different standard of love the world has ever known. He even used a very rare and different word for love. He used the Greek agape, very rarely used at this time in the history of all writings during the period when Jesus lived. When popular writers of Jesus' time wrote of love, they mostly used the word eros, and most of you know what eros means. Erotic, lustful. The kind of love that men were used to hearing about, sex and passion and desire. And most still use the word love in English to mean anything but what Jesus was talking about. Most still use the word love as an excuse to control or to dominate or to be irresponsible or to just get what you want. Even little children, when you say, "No, you can't have that toy." "Oh, but I love you. Don't you love me?" You see, agape is loving, not counting the cost to me, and not counting whether you will ever give me anything pleasant in return. A different word. It means to serve instead of use one another. And on the night that he gave this sign, he took that towel and wrapped it around him and took the water basin and he knelt before them and washed their feet. A low-down servant's job. It was the job of a servant who didn't have the aptitude to do anything better than that. The lowest, least trainable, least valuable servant washed feet. And Jesus said, "I, your master, am washing your feet." You might not understand it now, but later you will. It's much later. I hope we do. Peter was indignant, but finally he allowed. And later he understood.
We still have the same problem, counting some people and some people's deeds worth more than others, some people worth more than others, some love more desirable than others, and some more worthy of being loved. This is not what Jesus is trying to teach. How much more can you give to others than your life? He gave himself in service. He gave himself on the cross. Jesus' servant love is not the uncontrollable, all-consuming impulse of using others. It was instead serving and kneeling and washing and giving of himself. He came not as a king on high to be served, but to serve others and to give his life, his very life, as a ransom for our souls. He showed his love as giving, not taking. But finally, the commandment really is new because we as Christians have a new reason to love. We are to love each other because we know that God loved us first. And to forgive one another because we know that God has already forgiven us. And to serve one another and to be generous and compassionate to one another. To be kind to one another because God in Christ has been all those things unto us. God's love in Jesus has no limits. It is a love that never quits, a love that can forgive and receive even enemies, a love that listens and hears and binds and heals and builds up, encourages and strengthens. And when we do those things, we are echoing the love of Christ. He said to do it always in every situation. So I challenge you tonight to ask yourself at home, with family, with spouse, with friends, at work, and even with enemies, am I doing the loving thing as Jesus commanded? Reflect tonight. If you wish to serve God, and if you're here tonight, I believe that you do. Am I doing the loving thing in the relationships where I am? Where I have publicly claimed to follow Christ, am I doing the loving thing that Christ has commanded? Am I loving in a servant way? Am I loving in an agape way, not counting the cost? Love is the sign that God is in this church. And love is the sign that God's Spirit is in our hearts. By this, said Jesus, everyone will know that you are my disciples. By this, everyone will know that you are my disciples, that you have love for one another. Let us show that he lives in us. Let us love as he has loved us. A new commandment Christ has given us. Amen. I'll ask you to turn to page 12 for the brief order of communion, but as you turn to page 12, put the book down because we're going to pass the peace. Too much. That might be too much. It doesn't evaporate that fast. You can uncover and hold up. Please join me at the Great Thanksgiving on page 13. We will commune when we get to that point by intinction. Just form two lines down the middle and go out to each side and kneel if you wish, or return to your seat if you wish. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts. We lift them up to the Lord. Let us give thanks to the Lord our God. It is right to give our thanks and praise. It is right and a good and joyful thing always and everywhere to give thanks to you, Father Almighty, Creator of heaven and earth. And so with your people on earth and all the company of heaven, we praise your name and join their unending hymn. Holy, holy, holy Lord, God of power and might, heaven and earth are full of your glory. Hosanna in the highest. Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. Holy are you, and blessed is your Son, Jesus Christ. By the baptism of his suffering, death, and resurrection, you gave birth to your church, delivered us from slavery to sin and death, and made with us a new covenant by water and the Spirit. On the night in which he gave himself up for us, he took bread, gave thanks to you, broke the bread, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." And when the supper was over, he took the cup and gave thanks to you, gave it to his disciples, and said, "Drink from this, all of you. This is my blood of the new covenant, poured out for you and for many for the forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." And so, in remembrance of these, your mighty acts in Jesus Christ, we offer ourselves in praise and thanksgiving as a holy and living sacrifice, in union with Christ offering for us, as we proclaim the mystery of faith. Christ has died, Christ is risen, and Christ will come again. Pour out your Holy Spirit on us gathered here and on these gifts of bread and wine, and make them be for us the body and blood of Christ, that we may be for the world the body of Christ redeemed by his blood. By your Spirit, make us one with Christ, one with each other, and one in ministry to all the world, until Christ comes in final victory and we feast at his heavenly banquet. Through your Son, Jesus Christ, with the Holy Spirit, in your holy church, all honor and glory is yours, Almighty Father, now and forever. Amen.
Shall we begin with the choir?
We associate Psalm 22, the words that Jesus cried from the cross, feeling burdened and forsaken and laden with our sins and the sins of the whole world. Let us hear, as the altar is stripped, verses from Psalm 22. My God, why have you forsaken me? Why are you so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? Oh my God, I cry by day, but you do not answer, and by night, but find no rest. Yet you, the praise of Israel, are enthroned in holiness. In you our forebears trusted. They trusted and you delivered them. To you they cried and were saved. In you they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and not human, scorned by others and despised by the people. All who see me mock me. They make mouths at me. They wag their heads. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let the Lord deliver him. Let the Lord rescue him, for the Lord delights in him. Yet it was you who took me from the womb. You kept me safe upon my mother's breast. Upon you I was cast from my birth, and since my mother bore me, you have been my God. Do not be far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me, strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me, like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like water, and all my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My mouth is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. You lay me in the dust of death. Indeed, dogs surround me. A company of evildoers encircles me. They have pierced my hands and feet. I can count all my bones. They stare and gloat over me. They divide my garments among them, and for my raiment they cast lots. From you comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pay before those who worship the Lord. The poor shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek the Lord shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. At the ends of the earth shall remember, all the ends of the earth shall remember and turn to the Lord. And all the families of the nations shall worship before the Lord. For dominion belongs to God, to the Lord who rules over the nations. All who sleep in the earth shall bow down to the Lord. All who go down to the dust shall bow before the Lord, and I shall live for God. Posterity shall serve the Lord. Each generation shall tell of the Lord and proclaim his deliverance to a people yet unborn. Surely the Lord has done it. Thus tomorrow we will find the sanctuary for the Good Friday service. The lunch is at 12, the service at 12:30. I invite you all to come from your busy work day, bring your neighbors, and be here for a very special Good Friday service. Receive now this benediction, this blessing. Let us pray. Lord, we cannot fathom You have come to your own, to your creation, to your people, and been rejected. How you have loved and healed and fed and given miracles of goodness and been threatened. Lord, we cannot imagine. We cannot imagine what a people, what a creation, how fallen we must be to reject your love when you come to us, when you've come in your Son, Jesus Christ. And we cried out, crucify him. Lord, bless us with the knowledge that your love is even greater than our short-sightedness, that your love is even greater than any sin we may have committed, that your love and your grace are even greater than evil and sin and death. Your determination to save us and to keep us with you forever is great, is powerful, is victorious. We rejoice in the victory that you have won for us in Jesus Christ. We rejoice in the great love and the depths you have shown us you will go to love us in the cross of Jesus Christ. Lord, bless us with the full knowledge of what you have done in Jesus Christ. Amen.